to Ladies Talking Leaves. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And it's great to be back after our trip to Sweden, covering the Leafs at the NHL Global Series, where they won both games, and they're 4-3-1 since our last show, which is not bad. To start off the show, we're going to talk a bit about some of the highlights of our trip to Stockholm.
And before we get into the show, a shout out to our show partner, Bet Online. You can find all the latest NHL game day bets, as well as props and futures. Currently, Bet Online has the Leafs at plus 1100 to win the Stanley Cup. I guess that's the one bonus of them maybe not doing as great as we would like. The odds are definitely better.
So the holiday season is off and rolling with the NFL in full stride and the NHL and NBA hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info with up-to-the-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports.
And not just the big four either. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips on both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport you can think of that is played, from MMA to international soccer. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know needs support or advice, reach out to Connex Ontario or an organization near you. Place your limits and stay within it.
So yeah. So what do you think, Syl? What were some of your highlights?
Okay. Well, obviously it was an incredible experience. Something that we never dreamed we would get to do, getting to be behind the scenes and, you know, part of the traditional media. So that was awesome. For me, the highlights of that were, you know, basically meeting some of the people that kind of inspire us and, you know, that we follow and, to get our news, you know, like, David Alter, Chris Johnston, Mike Zeisberger, like, you know, all of the guys, Luke Fox, they were all there and just doing their job. And it was nice to, you know, meet them and for them to come and, you know, even recognize us, which is cool. Yeah.
So and just so listeners know, they do work hard. That's for sure.
Big time. And I have to say, one of the things about that for me that really hit home for me with this is how much we owe these guys, for the job that they do, because, it basically takes some of the fun out of it. They really set their fandom aside. They do this because they love sports, and a lot of them do love the Leafs, but they cannot show it at all. They can't show their fandom. It's not as fun for them to watch a game from that point of view. I can tell you that. So, you know, we got to give them a lot of credit for setting aside, you know, their love for the teams, the players in the game, to report on it for us. So that's definitely something that was an impression for me. And other thing that I loved is just kind of getting to see the players, you know, face to face, seeing the way they interact with one another, with the fans. They are so really, really giving to the fans. Like, they took time to sign autographs and they're very sweet. Like that one moment that I'm sure everybody saw where Morgan Riley met that little girl after practice who was named after him. And I guess their family, they're from Nova Scotia originally. They moved there now. But he took a lot of time out after that practice to interact with her, to speak with her, you know, beyond just signing an autograph. And Willie the same. There's like a huge kid, a bunch of kids from watching the practice. And he took time to spend time with all of them, even though he was being shuttled off to another event at the fan, global fan tour
expo. Yeah. They definitely, both of them took time to make sure that they got this, let the kids get their selfies in and stuff like that with them. So that was great.
Another impression for me was just Sweden in general. Like, it's a very low stress place, very civilized place. Stockholm's very, very well connected. I just love that everybody walks everywhere and it's just so well connected with transit. You could get anywhere that you wanted to so easily, seamlessly, without any you know, disruption or anything. And it's just really nice walking everywhere all day long. So I just really, really kind of love the vibe and everything. I miss it. I'm still studying the Swedish because I miss it.
Yes, yes, I can attest to that. Sil was very on our rides on the subway or on the train there. She was trying to look up all the Swedish words and terminology so that we could get around better. But yeah, no, it was great. My favorite part of Sweden actually was similar to yours, seeing how the media and the players interact firsthand, like right in front of us, and the press conferences, and just being a part of that, and seeing that relationship, how it works in the media. It was really impressive. I liked, we met Sean McKenzie too from Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that was really good too, to great to meet him for the first time. And yeah, all the media were just fantastic to us. And they actually said that the NHL should get more of like our type of like new blood in the media world there to show the listeners, or to give the listeners more access to a fan type show like ours. So that was really good. And then one moment that I won't ever forget was the John Tavares interview that we had. I'm sure most of our listeners have seen it on our social media pages. If not, go to Facebook, X, Instagram, Threads. It's all on there. But yeah, no, just the fact that we walked into the Leafs locker room and they basically were all available right there, and John Tavares was just by himself.
Yeah.
Which was hard to believe that the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs was there. And he was very, very kind because I think he was getting ready to leave, basically. But he took the couple of minutes and said, no problem. And we got a smile out of him. So that was good. And then the last thing, I guess, for Sweden, I have to say that I really enjoyed about the country in the quick, we were only there 5 nights, 6 days, so not much time to see and do stuff, but it was the fika. So the fika is like a coffee outing. I love my coffee, my Tim's, but I managed to not have Tim's for 6 days. And yeah, the fika there, though, it always goes in conjunction with like a sweet item, and that sweet, it's like a cinnamon bun. And the three types that they have are cinnamon, saffron, and cardamom. And I think I like the saffron the best out of all of them. So that was my main food memory, I guess, from Sweden. So yeah, but overall it was great. We have posted some videos on social media, and we will be sharing more photos on our Ko-fi page and videos on our YouTube channel. So be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button on our social media channels, YouTube, Instagram, X, Facebook, and Threads. Our handle is at LTL1917, and check out our Ko-fi webpage at ko-fi.com/LTL1917. And you can find the link in our show notes. So yeah, so it was a great trip overall.
And now it's time to get into the show. So The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is back, and our LTL highlight reel will be back next show, because we're giving this show some Swedish flavor with a segment that we're calling Maple Leaf Meatballs. And for our third period segment, we are excited to have Travis Howe and Leif Murad from NHL Breakaway, which is the official NFT digital collectibles marketplace for the NHL, NHLPA, and NHL Alumni Association. You won't want to miss finding out more about this new fan experience in digital collectibles and highlights. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
All right. So the good, the bad, the ugly. So my good, starting off actually with a player that when we last had this segment on the good, bad, ugly, Sil had him as her good. And so obviously he's consistent, because now he's my good. It's Morgan Rielly. The guy is just incredible. I mean, last night I saw some Twitter hate people or ex hate people that were going on saying he was on the ice for 3 of the 4 goals.
It's because he plays for the whole game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
he's going to be on for some.
I don't know how much the games that these people watch, but he's basically playing over 25 minutes a night, almost every night. And yeah, so we can definitely forgive him for last night. And he brings a lot more good than he does on bad, basically. But yeah, no, he's, I guess, SN Stats actually said that he, in November, he played the most in his whole career, I guess, on a per game basis, over 20, it was 25 minutes, 57 seconds. So yeah, it's hard to imagine where our, like, given the situation of our defense now, God, like, knock on wood, it won't happen. But if we didn't have him, we would be in, it would be a catastrophe, like, in our lineup. But yeah, so the thing I like about him is, I guess he's obviously the longest serving Leaf, and it just, he's a team guy, and he's all about the logo on the front of the jersey and not so much about what's on the back of the jersey. So he just gives his all every night. He's continued from that. He just continued his excellent play from last season, from the playoffs. And you know that he's basically, I read actually after the Florida game, he's actually, I think he's number 5 now, but he was number 4 in the Atlantic Division stats of top defensemen. So yeah, I think he's number 5.
Yeah, he's
now,
getting but. More, like, I remember at the beginning of last year, you know, even despite the injury and everything that he had, like, he was really struggling with the points.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, he's really continued, picked up from where he left off with the playoffs, and he's still, you know, adding in to that, to his points total, assists, and a few goals. So
yeah, no, I have no problem with Morgan Rielly, and definitely I hope he can keep it going, though. That's the thing.
Only thing I worry about is the ice time. Just these guys all getting just completely burnt out and being gassed by the time we really need them to perform, you know, in the playoffs. Because the other part of it is right now, like, even next week, we've got like 4 days between games, which, why? That's just going to condense the schedule even that much more. And they're not really going to have that much time off for between now and then now. So I'm kind of a little worried about that part.
Yeah. All right. So who's your good?
So for me, somebody that we didn't give much love to early on for good reason, but my good, mostly because I just want to give him a lot of credit, is Tyler Bertuzzi. In the last 9 games, when he's on the ice, his lines goals expected for has led the team. And I was actually looking too on Puckpedia's site, and of the top lines that the Leafs had, even when, whether he was playing, you know, with Tavares and Nylander, or now Tavares and Marner, or even when he was playing with Austin and Mitch, he's factoring in to the top, to our goals for, and and is like part of the top rated lines. So he is an X factor in the situation, which I didn't see coming really at the start of all this. But as per Kevin Papetti, in the last 9 games, the Leafs are up 8-2 over this stretch when he's on the ice with his line. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of an animal out there. And to me, he actually reminds me of Animal from the Muppets, because he's just kind of all over the place. So like when you see Animal, you know, drumming, he's just kind of like, that's kind of how he skates. And you know how we notice that Mitch has a certain way of skating. And when he's skating like that, kind of very free, he's on. I think that is a sign that Bertuzzi's on, when he's just kind of like a wild man going into the corners and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, he's my good for good right now.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, like, especially we were saying with Silla when we were in Stockholm, like, they should bring some Swedish water back, because really, I think I noticed the difference there, starting mostly a little bit, maybe a game or two before that, but definitely on that trip to Sweden, he really has upped his game. And I was worried with the change with Nylander, like, to with Marner and that, to say, but no, it's, I think it's actually more, everybody was saying it's the connection with Nylander being the driver of the line. But I think with JT being there, like he slows the game down more. Like
true,
right? So when they play as a line, and I think that really coincides with Bertuzzi's game too. So I think that's part of the main connection there is with John Tavares, and then I mean obviously Willie being Willie doing his thing, but now he's dropped off a little bit. So, but I'm going to get to that a little in the next, in our bad for a second, but yeah, no, I like, Tyler Bertuzzi's game and, yeah, hopefully he can just keep it going. Right. It's a good thing to see him, and he didn't laugh at Brad Marchand last night. So that was good. So nobody has to be mad about him for that. But yeah, moving on to the bad. All right. So the bad, I have Sheldon Keefe. And part of that is what you were saying before, that about the burnout part of it. The time on ice for these top five players is just my biggest issue right now. Like, or the core five, including Morgan Riley. It's too much to be having these guys play. It's basically over 23 minutes a night for all of them. JT maybe a little bit lower. Sheldon Keefe needs to find like Domi and Robertson. I'll put those two together. Like they have been playing less than 11, 12 minutes a night every game. Mm-hmm. From I quickly scanned over, and sometimes they're playing like 8 or 9 minutes, which I'm like, it's like a huge drop from the first line to the third line, right? Like it cannot be like that for the entire season. No. He has to find the trust in those players. And I don't understand why, like Domi's played well at center now. Mm-hmm. He's really changed his game. He's picked it up. He got his first goal last night versus Boston. And Robertson, I mean, I don't know, like he may not, some people are saying he's not an NHL player now, but last night, versus the Bruins again, like he made a couple of fantastic defensive, like he plays, like getting back to get back in the defensive zone to stop some of the offense from the Bruins. And he's scored some goals, but I mean, what are you going to do when you're only playing 8 minutes a night?
Well, the other thing is that why is, you know, he's like, he seems to play his favorites. So like, how come Matthew Knies is allowed to make mistakes, but Nick Robertson is not? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know that they have a different style of game. That's fine. But the thing is like, what it reminds me of is he's going to basically, you know, analyze his way and, you know, without trusting these players, work himself out of this job, basically is what's going to happen. Really reminds me of like Nick Nurse last year with the Raptors. He refused to play his bench ever. Wore out his star players. And, you know, what did it get them? And what did it get him? He ended up getting fired. So it's like, you are the coach. You guys, you're supposed to develop these guys. And this stretch that they've been on is the time where, you know, you've got a little bit more leeway. The longer we go into the season, the less time you've got to give these guys a little bit more rope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Willie, I agree 100%. Part of the equation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, Willie looked gassed last night, like on that last overtime goal. Like
that is another thing that I'm not happy about is how he uses these guys and why, you know, he never puts JT hardly on in overtime. And last night he played the whole overtime. Exactly. What do you think you're going to get from the guy? He's like totally gassed. He has the slowest transition up the ice that any guy has. That is not his wheelhouse. 3-on-3, those days are over for him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no way that Willie gets basically, you know, not he sort of falls, but then he's helped to the ice and held there by Marchand. Yes, doesn't get up quick enough. Tavares can't get back fast enough. And then what does Marchand do? You know, he gets up and frees himself and goes and skates and scores. So,
And when you say about usage of players, that's the other point that I had about Sheldon Keefe being bad. He puts the fourth line out there after the opposition scores a goal. he's done. He did that versus the Hawks. And then he did that last night after the second goal of the Bruins. Mm-hmm. Why are you putting the fourth line out there when you just got scored on? Like, and they got hemmed in. In both situations, that fourth line got hemmed in. And you can't have Ryan Reeves playing 5 minutes a night and taking up a spot in the lineup like that. That's insane.
That's the thing I was going to say. That part's not 100% his fault. But Treliving has to do something about that contract. You know, it's like the experiment, I think we can all agree has not worked.
Yeah.
And the guy's style of play, what he offers, it just doesn't mesh with our style because of the complement of players we have. We are never going, he's never going to fit. And basically made everybody have to play way more because you're covering off a guy who basically can't play at all for a whole game. Where are those minutes going to go?
Yeah. You know? No, exactly. They go to the top players, which it's too much. They're going to get burnt out, like you said. But all right. So that's my bad on Sheldon Keefe. And what's your bad?
So I might get a little bit of pushback on this from many, many people. But my bad is actually I'm going to give a little shade to Austin Matthews right now. Although I think that maybe last night could be a turnaround for him. But his 5-on-5 play has been nowhere near as good as it should be. And in fact, you can really tell because they're playing. I think they showed a graphic during the game last night of their ozone time, and it's the lowest it's ever been in his career. And they're playing a lot in the D zone, and it shows because you know what else shows that? His plus minus is the lowest it's ever been since maybe his rookie season or second or third season, something like that. But he's basically even right now, and normally he is in like the plus 20s.
Right.
So that just shows that they are not being, I don't know, aggressive, assertive enough in the offensive zone. And the thing I noticed the most is that normally, you know, this year you've really noticed like the puck just kind of follows Willie or has been following him. You know, it's like a magnet to him. And that's normally what we see with Austin is that he's always around the puck, stripping the puck, you know, and he just, that doesn't seem to be happening. And I don't know if that's going to change now that Marner's not on his line. I wonder how long it's going to be till Marner goes back on his line. But
last night, like you said, he did turn, like it seemed to be hopefully a turning point with the two goals and scoring that late one to tie it up. Mm-hmm. But I do give him some benefit of the doubt given that. But again, Willie's doing perfectly fine with this defense. But part of the team, obviously, is the defense transitioning the puck up
for
to
sure.
The forwards,
that's what I was going to say. So, like our team defense, because it's not producing either, and it's not getting the puck down the ice to them.
But so I'll give him that. But still, sometimes he just doesn't look engaged in the play, and it's like. You think like what is he doing out there? Because he's a large person, he's a very large guy, right? And so he can't. I don't know. And then like I think he's shooting as much. It might be a little bit down.
His shooting percentage is right around where it normally is.
Yeah.
So and you know just looking at his stats, I think overall his stats are a little bit better than they were last year. On average. So I do think he's going to come out of it. And I think overall,
he's too good a successful
season this year than last year. But he hasn't really seemed to be like his usual self yet, apart from the hot start that he had. So, I do expect him to have like, you know, other areas. Funnily enough, though, you know, as I was researching this, I came across, you know, I just basically was looking at information on, you know, Austin's 5-on-5 play. And every season going back, I found articles of like, what's going on with Austin Matthews 5-on-5? So this is probably just one of his lulls. And we're kind of reporting on it right now. So, So this is not like the first time that this has come up. So I do expect him to come out of it, but right now he's not quite there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So the ugly. Mm-hmm. And the ugly returns. I look back actually on how many years we've got these our ugly together for me and Syl is the bench miners, the too many mm-hmm. men on the ice penalties. And it's amazing. It actually goes back on X. I look back at the posts and it goes back to 2015 that we were having these issues with too many men bench miners.
So that's prior to half these guys being on the team.
Exactly. So then I start thinking, what does the NHL have a vendetta against us like that? Like with that?
Well, honestly, there's probably something to that because the fact that we are still in the bottom five for getting power plays, so like we don't mm-hmm. draw any penalties, right. and we get called on these chintzy, stupid things way more than other teams do. So
for sure.
Like the one, I think it's just because it's the microcosm and the microscope is always on this team. So,
yeah, I think the what was it the that Florida game, that was one of the chintzy ones where it was the Florida bench that got up and started saying, "Oh, it's like," and then all of a sudden the ref's arm goes up, right?
No, I know that even when we were in Sweden, you know, somebody called that out. One of the press guys asked, and Keith, you know, made the point of saying that one wasn't won. It's like the player was nowhere near the puck. They weren't engaging in the play. They were just getting off. But, you know, however, if you're the coach, you're the guy that needs to tell these guys that, hey, they're watching us more than other people for whatever reason. That means you got to hustle off and you got to be smarter when you get on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, no, you got to pay attention.
There's one
attention
way to fix it is at least pay more attention to those details for a while so that they stop looking at you.
Yeah, yeah. And just for our listeners, I looked up Lance Hornby actually posted this. He said the record from NHL stats for too many men, bench miners, is 21 by the 2002-2003 Los Angeles Kings. So hopefully we
don't get anywhere. And where did they finish that year?
I don't know, but hopefully we don't get anywhere near that number. Yeah. All right. So it's now time for Maple Leaf Meatballs. We were inspired to do this from visiting a great Swedish meatball restaurant in Stockholm called Meatballs for the People. If you ever get to Stockholm, be sure to visit and get there early as it's a very busy place. And I don't think they take reservations for what I remember. Or
no.
They do. No.
Because they're so busy.
Because they're so busy. So yeah. So we tried several different meatballs and we thought it would be fun to match each meatball flavor that they have on their menu with a maple leaf flair. And the flavor suggestions were reindeer, boar, vegan, moose, lamb, bear, classic Swedish meatball, beef, veal, and deer. So there's quite a few there. So we're going to go through it.
So I've got two that I'm starting with, and it's reindeer and boar. So for the reindeer, I thought that the player who closest resembles the vibe of reindeer was Mitch because he's so fun-loving. And I don't know, I just... You know, when I picture, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the animated show, and just, you know, just the fun and frolic, I think of Mitch Marner. And so he, to me, exemplifies the reindeer. And for boar, I decided that we should give that one to Ryan Reeves because basically that's what we got him for, to be that boar on the ice, to hit people, to stick up for people. And so he's the one to me that best suited the boar meatball flavor.
Yeah. I did try the meatball or the meatball flavor reindeer, mm-hmm. just so our listeners know. And
neither of us wanted to try that.
Yeah,
but we did.
I was a bit sad because, like Syl said, it was Rudolph. I was eating Rudolph, but anyways, it wasn't bad.
I liked it. I thought it was actually really good.
Yeah. All right. So the next two that I have, the first one is the vegan. And we decided to give that to Captain John Tavares. So mm-hmm. vegan being because he just is one healthy dude. He likes to He has his little backpack that he comes in into the game with. He's almost like the way JVR was, with having all the vitamins and everything in the back of his backpack going into the game. But yeah, so he's just a health nut. He just looks, he looks like a guy that being a vegan, like just like having those like healthy shakes and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. And that's not to say that we think he is a vegan, because no, you know, he probably isn't, but we just don't imagine that he eats any kind of unhealthy stuff. Like in those videos in Sweden with all the treats and the sweets and stuff, because they're big on candy there. He didn't touch any of that stuff. So
yeah. All right. And then the moose we had as Austin Matthews. And just because for me, he's just built like a moose. He's big and he uses his size quite a bit. And and he just epitomizes that kind of look of a moose. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, even though I did think like the nickname Moose is actually Mark Messier, right?
Yeah. But you know what? You know, like when he's like charging down the ice with a head of steam, and like he's kind of hard to get off the puck. So he's got those similar qualities there.
Yeah.
All right. So the next two I have were Lamb and Bear. And Lamb, I picked Joseph Woll for this, especially having met him and being in the scrum when he's being interviewed. You can just see that he's always smiling. He is a very sweet boy, and I just felt like he epitomizes that kind of vibe of the Lamb. And you know, of course, he's you know, not quite a rookie, but he's you know, rookie-ish, and
he's
so
still, he's considered a rookie this year. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, he's just so under that age.
He definitely fits that vibe to me of the Lamb. And the Bear, of course, none other than Ilya Samsonov, because of course he's the Russian Bear. Yeah. And so I figured that he suits that for that reason.
Yes. And hopefully he feels better soon, because we need him. Mm-hmm. All right. And then moving on to the classic, we have William Nylander, because he's just a classic guy, and he's from there, from Sweden. So I mean, I don't think he probably appreciates more just the classic Swedish meatball, because there's nothing, he doesn't want all these funky different flavors of meat. Yeah. And then the beef one, we chose Morgan Riley, and have to say, we were discussing this before we came on air, and it's not because he's beefy or anything like that, but he looks like a guy that likes his like steak or beef, and he's been very consistent. And like we were saying before, like our last show before with the Good, Bad, and the Ugly, he was the he was our good, and normally with beef, you like it to be consistent. So he was good this time too.
Yeah, I think that, you know, beef is, that's, you know, stable, solid, you can count on it.
Yeah.
And the last two we had were veal and deer. And for veal, I chose Matthew Knies, because again, veal is from a younger animal, but it's from a younger animal that is going to grow up to be big and strong and consistent and stable. So I picked Matthew Knies for that, being another one of our rookies. And then the last one is deer. And for that, I kind of had a tie. So I picked Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi, mostly because they, to me, resembled a couple of deer in headlights when they first started the season. And it took them a little while to acclimate to things here on our team. So that is why I chose those two for that meatball flavor.
We should actually note, too, for the vegan, I forgot to mention that David Camp should be noted in there too,
because he could also fit that bill.
He's quite a health nut as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So we hope you enjoyed that little meatball comparison. And anyways, definitely
fun.
Go to Meatballs for the People if you want to get some really good classic meatballs in Stockholm.
Yeah.
All right. So now it's time for a third period segment, where we're going to find out more about the world of NHL digital collectibles from NHL Breakaway.
All right. So for our third period segment, we want to welcome to the show Travis Howe and Laith Mirad from NHL Breakaway. Travis Howe is heir to the Howe hockey family and dynasty, and is the director of NHL relations at Sweet and a distinguished hockey expert, highlight curator, and NHL historian. Laith Mirad is an award-winning marketing executive and the head of marketing at Sweet, a leading platform for digital collectibles and for NHL Breakaway.
So NHL Breakaway is the official NFT digital collectibles marketplace for the NHL, NHLPA, and the NHL Alumni Association. The NHL Breakaway team is creating a new fan experience for NHL fans in the form of digital collectibles and highlights. Digital collectibles offered will include current and historical video highlights and collectibles from across the league featuring past and present NHL stars and top plays. So welcome to the show, Travis and Laith.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just start off first by asking how the digital collectible product came to life.
I think it was it was truly a collaboration. So yeah, it was a collaboration between the NHL, the NHL Players Association, and NHL Alumni Association. And I think it was a collaboration to really try to deliver something to fans that was purely fan focused. And we like to say it that, you know, there's rarely before seen footage that, you know, highlights angles, camera angles, sounds of the game, you know, you can hear the ice, that fans who love the sport of hockey, and there's millions of them worldwide, never really get a chance to see or experience. And so highlights of the past and highlights of the present, and really the ability to show off the skills and talents of the players themselves. And, you know, they really are the heroes at the end of the day in this whole thing. And so the product came about is, how do you create something very special? But rather than focusing on just a small group of collectors, why don't we focus on the entire fan base? Let's look at all fans of the NHL, and then how do we create it collaboratively across the organization with the PA, with the AA, and really deliver something really high quality that fans will just love. And at the end of the day, that let the passion of hockey speak for itself and let fans experience it that way.
So the site is like currently in the beta stage, or is it like fully launched now?
So we launched in a beta in, kind of around June, July, got people in early, you know, had a couple of drops, you know, really working through the feedback and listening to what these early adopters really were looking for and what they wanted. So it was a really, you know, community heavy effort of building this community, delivering on a product, and building out some features that we knew that fans would love. So during that time, we built out the Trade Lounge, which is essentially old school. I'm trading cards with you. What do you have? But now we can, you know, do it digitally. So no matter where you are in the world, whether you're in Canada, the US, Finland, Norway, the UK, wherever you might be, if you have a player that you want, and I have a player that I'm willing to trade for, we can do it very seamlessly, like a couple taps of the button. And so we really focused on what are the fan experiences and what are they looking for. So we've got gifting available. If you've got a family or a friend who loves hockey, who's looking for, you know, present this holiday season, you can gift them one. You can put up your public profiles. You can show off what you've got. You can start to share, hey, this is who I'm a fan of. So much like you buy jerseys, this is just another way on the digital side to show off your fandom.
So how has the program been received so far then?
Really, like the way we're looking at it is we're looking at the engagement and we're looking at how fans are reacting. So we've got a community of fans on Twitter. We've got a community of fans on Discord. And we pay attention to what they have to say. And so far the experience has been really top notch. We've done some surveys. We've, you know, kind of listened to what they have and what's good, what's working, what's not. And we're continuously looking to improve and refine and make it more seamless. And because of our product, we take it very seriously to make your experience Breakaway. So how do I make it as easy and seamless as possible? And so far, you know, when the Trade Lounge launched, we saw tweets saying, you know, pay attention, everyone. This is game changing, you know. Wow. And we saw thousands of trades happen within the first 24 hours and trades getting completed. And so there was a tremendous amount of interest, and we knew we delivered right. And the roadmap is ongoing. We've got a big vision. So we're not stopping now. We're continuing. And part of that vision is things Travis will talk about, which is the curation of highlights and plays and, you know, the remarkable players showing their skills kind of in prime time in the digital world for people to collect and share and talk about.
So why don't we get Travis in then for a second before we move on to our next question? So how do you choose then the plays that you want to highlight and capture in these moments?
Yeah, great question. You know, by the way, there's two parts. There's you know, there's current season and there's also historical, and there's things that we are working on behind the scenes that, as Leif alluded to earlier, you know, we work with the, you know, NHL Alumni Association as well as the Players Association and of course the league itself. But, you know, just in terms of the current season, no joke, literally watching every single game, you know, sometimes a little more snippets, but, it's not going to, for us, it's not going to, you know, YouTube or going to SportsCenter or Sportsnet or, you know, whatever your media is and you know, looking up, oh, what's the top 10 plays of the, you know, the night or plays of the week. It's really, you know, I think us as hockey fans, there's so many intricate details of the game that we truly appreciate. We know the teammates appreciate and the coaches appreciate, and we want to capture as many of those highlights, if you will, as possible. Aside from some of the just obvious that, you know, something that maybe goes viral. And, you know, for me personally, like I've been involved in hockey my entire life. you know, I think I probably grew up in skates before shoes, but, you know, for me, I've been involved at the rink level, at the ice level my entire life, whether it was a scout, a coach. I had a business for 17 years. I developed youth hockey players. So, you know, integrity of the sport has been very important to me, and the passionate people that I get to work with on a daily basis at all levels, and all parties has been tremendous. And it's, you know, it's really rewarding. And I think that's our ultimate goal, is to stay true to the game, represent in the best manner, and try and identify and recognize, you know, not only the most exciting, but also some of the most meaningful and impactful, you know, plays that are out there.
So for the
and I will say, Travis often looks for, he's not giving himself enough credit, so I'll give it to for him. You know, the plays that sometimes go unnoticed by, I don't want to say unnoticed by fans, the true hockey fans notice them, but they're the plays that don't get that attention because they're not the flashy plays, but they're the impactful plays that could create whatever happens in a game, and that could be a turning point. It could be something else. It could be a great pass. It could be a great assist. It could be just defensive plays. And so I think that's, for the authenticity of the product, it was really important that, you know, Travis and team really look at the entirety of hockey and not just what's on SportsCenter or Sportsnet or Top 10.
And I think that's the excitement of the digital collectibles, and specifically what we're doing with highlights is you're able to feature those because of the video aspect, right? And because of the sounds of the game. And so you're able to display things that may not come across otherwise, and to understand that, you know, it was a very impactful moment that helped the team propel it to a win or maybe a series win in the playoffs. And you know, so I think that's something that's, you know, pretty exciting for us.
Like I noticed you mentioned, I read a little bit about you on your blog post specifically about you, and you mentioned John Tavares's goal to win the series last year, our only series. But but anyways, I thought that was kind of cool. So I just wanted to mention that because that's like a tie into the Leafs there. So
of course.
Yeah.
Yes. No, that was exciting for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. For the older, I guess, footage, like how far back, like, will you have like older plays, let's just say, like if it's Rick Vye's 50th goal, or is it going back to the 60s or 70s, or
Let's just say that it's our intent to represent all the game's greats in any way, shape, or form that we can. And you know, and the game's greats didn't start, you know, 10 years ago or even 20 years ago. So right. I think the door is open to a lot there, and we do have a plan, you know, but everything is going to be done over a lengthy period of time and not all come up at once. But yeah, there's so much rich history of the game, and amazing things that have happened, you know, that we would love to celebrate for sure.
Right. Okay. And I guess Laith, you mentioned about the vision, I guess, that you were thinking of for this type of collectible. Like, is this a product that like it could be become like part of a like the Sport Card Expo business, like how there's huge, that's pretty big now, like again it's coming back anyways from
I think it's our vision has always been, how do you stay fan focused, how do you make sure you deliver a product that is for the fans, for the millions and millions of fans worldwide. And so the vision is really, how do you take this product and really make it a bigger part of the fabric of fandom? And mm-hmm. so much like you've got a jersey behind you, how do you have that on, you know, that you can share with friends, that you can showcase? So, you know, Travis and I both collected cards when we were mm-hmm. young. mine are in a shoebox upstairs. His are in a binder. I've got a few in, you know, the plastic cases, just I don't know why I put them in there a long time ago. Haven't opened them, haven't looked at them. It's not about like putting them away and collecting them. Our product is really about sharing and exposing and talking about and, you know, describe. Travis talks about the impactful plays. You know, what impact did that have on a series, on a game, on a turning point, on a player's career, even? And that's what we're looking to represent. And by doing that, then the vision kind of falls in line, right? So the trading lounge makes it easier. Letting you show who you collect makes it easier. We will have a marketplace that's coming out where you can, you know, collect other things. But freezing highlights, collecting sets, getting real rewards, things like that are all part of it. And in a credit to the NHL, the NHLPA and NHLAA is, there's patience, right? This product is for the long haul. And so to do that, that means you have to do things right. And so we're not rushing to get things out. We're focusing on making sure it delivers the authentic product and the product the fans want.
Yeah, I just add that, you know, this is, it is new, you know, it's a new digital collectible experience. And yes, I myself have been a card collector, and I still to this day try and collect my grandfather's cards. They're not as easy. They go back, you know, many years, and I've collected, I think, all of my dad's, but you never know. There's always new ones coming up. So, but let's say I have in the neighborhood of like 200 of his cards, and what Laith was referring to earlier, you know, they sit in a binder, and I love those cards, but and I'm not the type where I'm like, hey, come see my collection. I want to, you know, mm-hmm. But if I did, you'd have to be physically with me to actually, you know, look through that book. And I'd maybe worry about the condition of the cards and, oh, geez, you know, the sunlight might hurt them or something. So I've onboarded myself to this new digital experience. It's incredibly easy. You can do it on your mobile. You can do it on your computer, whatever, you know, whatever suits you best. And, you know, you can, with the click of a button, share, you know, your collection to everybody. And there's also, you know, in my opinion, the emotional attachment to some of these moments, you know, that you may, you know, you referenced Rick Vives' 500th goal, or, you know, one thing that's, you know, 1993 Doug Gilmore when he had the Spinorama 2 overtime mm-hmm. goal, right? I mean, it was my dad's era, and I you know, mm-hmm. they actually got inducted in the Hall of Fame together, so I remember a lot of his moments, and, you know, like where you can actually watch that, relive that, and collect it. To me, that's pretty cool.
Do you have that available already?
We don't.
Ah.
Yeah,
actually,
we don't.
Another good one would be the night that in the regular season, Doug Gilmore had the record number of assists, I think, that night. But nobody really talks about that night. I think it was against the Minnesota North Stars. I think it was Minnesota North Stars that he did it. Anyways, he had a record number of assists. I remember this, but very, very, very few times do you hear anybody showing
those. You don't see
those,
that highlight.
Yeah,
like that shown highlight. Often, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing that it does excite me about this is we get so little access to players nowadays. So like, I hope, and I assume that part of this is to kind of, you know, like you're talking about story building. So like, you know, building the story around the player and around that moment so that we can get a little bit inside, you know, what that makes that player tick a little bit, you know, because we don't tend to get as easy access to players these days. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak to it in two ways. One is we were part of the media tour. We talked to them all. A lot of the questions we asked them were really about highlights that they knew that inspired them growing up and players that inspired them, as well as, you know, when they were on an off day and they, you know, someone texted them or whatever and said, did you see this? What was that? And then a lot of times we asked them, what were moments that people have gone unnoticed? And one of my favorites was, you know, when the player said, it took me years and years and I finally beat Sidney Crosby. I won a face-off. It was the highlight. Like, he's like, the rest of the game didn't matter, but you know, I was going home, like winning, like that was it. That was the highlight of my, almost like you could see it in him. It was like a highlight of his career and, you know, young, early on Sidney Crosby. So I think what we're trying to capture in the plays themselves, and Travis spoke of this, is how do you let the expression of the impact of the play really come to life? Because you can't see it in a physical card. You just can't. Like, a physical card is static. It doesn't kind of carry that emotion. But for those of us who love the sport, you know, love any sport, and I'll speak to this generally, I mean, you can get goosebumps when you see some of your favorite players kind of do what they did even 5 years later, 3 years later, 10 years later, and go, wow, I remember that. Whereas if you see the physical, you don't. And I think that's where we're trying to work, you know, really with the storytelling. We're working with the clubs themselves, the alumni, the Players Association, to really help build that story as well. So a lot of times the clubs have access to footage that, you know, so we're working with them as well.
Okay, that's cool. One more question that I have is I know this is an NHL initiative right now, but are there any plans potentially in the future to branch out into any of, you know, the international type things or Olympic type things? Because I know you were at the Vancouver Olympics. You saw the golden goal. Like, that's maybe a highlight that like tons of Canadians would be happy to own. Like, is that a possibility, that particularly because NHL players were involved in those games, right? So anything like that possible?
Yeah, look, as far as I'm concerned, I am laser focused on NHL breakaway myself, and you know, and I'm not you know, part of those conversations necessarily, but if they're happening, but you know, that, yeah, I think Leith can speak a little bit more to some of the things that Sweet has already done and some of the partners we've already had, and you know, of course, you never know what's going to happen in the future, so mm-hmm. But as far as myself personally, I'm, you know, laser focused on what happens within the league. And, you know, there's plenty there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the league, there's a lot. There's a highlight a night, at least mm-hmm. one, if not a dozen. As an organization, Sweet really firmly believes that, without a doubt, the digital collectible market really is, you know, in the right space when you think of sports. So that the emotion, the passion of the fans really comes to life. And so we believe that sports are a great area for digital collectibles to really be sitting. So, you know, we've worked with the Cavs, McLaren Racing, the Knicks, you know, the Bucks. So we've worked with a lot of organizations in sports. The NHL, you know, the collaborative nature that we're working with them has been phenomenal. And I think, you know, we're just going to continue to try to deliver the authenticity of the product, because at the end of the day, if we're not authentic with what we're doing, which is, you know, Travis and the rest of the team, you know, his team and the rest of the product team really do a great job of making sure we deliver that, that's where we want to be. And then, you know, other organizations will take notice and hopefully we can deliver an entire product for, you know, all sports fans. But right now we are focused on the NHL, but we believe sports is a great place for digital collectibles.
Okay, I've got one more question for you. So right now, currently with the NHL and the current NHL seasons, what is the most popular highlight so far to date?
That's a good question. Late, do we have that data with us?
I don't have the data, but, you know, I don't have, I was going to say, like, I looked at the trading data because the way we look at it is probably different. We don't look at, like, who has the most of any because some there's more highlights of some than available.
Some are rare. Yeah.
Some are rare. Some are, so you can't really look at how many. I think you'll see that, you know, we just dropped a pack showcasing the rookies' first goals of the season. And so you got a lot of chatter. It was funny. You got a lot of chatter talking about, you know, the Connor Bedards and some of the other players who are getting a lot of hype. And then you saw a lot of trades of some people saying, like, I want the Sidney Crosbys of the world. So I think it really comes down to who do you love? And that's who people are going for. And so some people are excited to get the Connor Bedards of the world and saying, hey, he's 18. We hope he's going to be the next phenom. And then there's others who are looking at it and saying, you know, I want Cale Makar. I want who else do I want? I want Kopitar. Like, you know, is Jonathan Toews going to come back? I'd love to see a highlight of him. Like, you start to see that. And I think at the end of the day, the trading lounge allows us to really let the fans kind of trade for who they want. And it's as simple. It really is simple as you put in, hey, I want this player who has it. And I'm willing to give up these highlights for it or highlight for it. And most trades happen within an hour.
Last year was obviously, in my opinion, a pretty darn good year, especially as it related to the regular season and some pretty cool things happen. And, you know, you had Connor McDavid, 153 point season, you know, became one of just four players in the history of the game to ever achieve, you know, that point total. And, so that was something we celebrated, in a sense of making the mark. And, yeah, of course, Alex Ovechkin, and, you know, of course, he passed 40 for second all time, and he's chasing Wayne now. And, you know, today we celebrate his 800th goal, you know, and then the hat trick up in Chicago, which was, of course, pretty epic moment. And then, you know, as Laith alluded to, like, you know, one of the sets that we've done a few times is called Opening Ice. And basically, it's celebrating a player's first goal or a goaltender's first win in the NHL. And for me personally, I like to think that we're putting together some highlights of moments in time that a player will go back and remember, you know, and a player never forgets their first goal, you know, or a goalie never forgets their first win, you know, in addition to milestones and, of course, some of those other achievements. So those are things that I think have been pretty popular. And we've even gone back in time, not with retired players, but gone back and you know, we had Ovechkin's first goal and Crosby's first goal back in 06, I believe. So, you know, those are some cool things that are out there already.
Are there any fan bases that you've kind of noticed have sort of, you know, really caught on to this? Like anything that you can put your finger on?
I can tell you that the existing beta users have created their own communities.
Yeah. Kind of funny.
So I think the fan bases are coming. I think, you know, our job is to, you know, and the NHL's job is to really make sure people are aware of this product, experience it, get to touch it, you know, feel it, like, even though it's digital, but really that cracking open of your first pack is like, you can see it on people's face, you know, when they open it up. What am I going to get? Which highlight? Do I like it? Am I going to trade? You know, and I think that's, it kind of puts you back as a kid in a candy store, right? Like anybody who loves the game of hockey will really enjoy opening a pack.
Well, hopefully we are going to be able to help you spread the word and, for our listeners, NHL Breakaway is giving us a limited number of free NHL Breakaway packs. So do you guys want to explain how that works and how our listeners can take advantage of that?
Yeah. You know, you will have a link that you can distribute any way you have. And all they have to do is kind of click on it, register, no purchase necessary, no credit card, nothing else. You know, just we just have to verify, you know, that you're human, log in. Most people use Google or Apple as their login authentication, and you get your pack. You score a couple highlights, and then you're able to trade them. You can go straight to the trading lounge. You can gift them. You can, you know, do whatever. You can share them. You can, you know, record it and put it on your social media even. So it's just another way to show your fandom.
It's really, it's amazing to me, the tech behind it, how incredibly easy it is. And to the team at Sweet that built it, it's just unbelievable. And that, you know, the cinematography and everything that's put into the headlight and all the design work is second to none. But so is the, you know, the platform itself and the ease of use and collecting and trading, et cetera, you know, what Lathe is referring to. So it's a pretty seamless experience, and we're excited to roll out more features.
Yeah, and if all you right. think of Scotiabank having all the cameras flying around the arena, how many the broadcast gets, and, you know, we have access to, the NHL provides us access to all those unique angles. So a lot of the highlights you see will, you'll, are highlights rarely before seen angles. So.
Well, that's awesome. So
yeah. So for our listeners, though, I guess that one place we're going to put the link in is our in our show notes. We'll put it there, and
that's great.
And the links for the everyone... packs, and yeah, I'm sure from all the information you've given us today, it sounds exciting. And I know I would love to see Austin Matthews 4 goals in his first game. So that's one pack that would be nice to for Leaf fans, anyways. Right?
So a request, it's not... Travis.
Yeah. Noted.
Yeah, that'll be one good one. But yeah, we'll put that in our show notes, definitely. So,
well, we want to thank you guys for coming on and telling us a little bit about this initiative. It is really exciting, and I guess this is the future of sharing hockey highlights and the new way to share. And I think that it's pretty cool. We're going to be looking forward to more and more coming from this.
Thank you. And good luck to your leads this year.
Yeah. They need a little bit of luck right now, actually.
Well, thank you for having us on. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
So thanks again to Travis Howe and Lathe Murad from NHL Breakaway for joining us on the show. Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, I'm not into the too much of the technology stuff, but I'm looking forward to seeing what they have on the, I guess, on the older footage side of it. Maybe not the new one, but yeah, no, it looked very. It's a fun thing to see, and they're going to be at the NHL All-Star, like the Fan Expo for that. So fans can check it out there.
They said they will have a presence there, so look out for them there.
Yeah.
So as mentioned in our interview with NHL Breakaway, they have given us a limited number of free packs for our listeners to experience the evolving world of hockey fandom built on cutting edge technology. So check out our show notes for the link to your free pack. You can find the show notes by scrolling down to the bottom of the episode wherever you listen to our show. And while you're there, be sure to hit that follow button and don't miss any of our episodes.
Yeah, so the Leafs have a few days off before heading to Ottawa on Thursday to face the Senators. And then they come back home on Saturday night to face Nashville, and Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen's return before going back on the road to play both New York teams, the first the Islanders and then the Rangers. So I'm interested in seeing what kind of reception Ryan O'Reilly, I mean, they were only here, I guess, post trade deadline last year sort of thing, right? So it's not really that huge of a deal, but
I'd be cheering for them.
Yeah, you'd be cheering for them. Yeah. So, so that'll be interesting. And then the tough game out of that one is definitely going to be the Rangers. I mean, Jonathan.
Yeah, that's going to be a big test for us, actually, because the Rangers are basically pulling ahead and looking like a Stanley Cup potential contender there. So,
yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see how we match up against them.
Yeah, Jonathan
knowing the Leafs, though, they'll probably come out and play a decent game against them because, you know, they're a good team.
But Quick has been very, like, Jonathan Quick, he's been at another level, like, even though Shesterkin is their number one, obviously, but...
But good for him, actually, you know, to show the LA Kings, like, hello, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, so after the Rangers, the Leafs come back home for three games and we play the Columbus Blue Jackets and then the Penguins, which is the return of Kyle Dubas. And then we play the Rangers again on December 19th.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you think Kyle Dubas will get a video tribute?
Probably.
I don't think so.
You don't
Are you
think
kidding
so?
Me? No.
I don't know. You don't think they would do that?
Shanahan's not
quite the fixture.
Shanahan wouldn't know. Not the way it all
you don't
went
think
down.
So? Yeah, I guess we'll see.
No,
I'd have to put a little wager on that one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he, like, because he's managed to duck the media the last time, like in Pittsburgh, right? But I mean, he can't avoid them.
No, he's
again.
Not going to be able to duck them here.
No, no. And no. And
no,
you gotta
and if
wonder
they
why.
Manage to get to keep him from the media that way, like, come on, like,
yeah,
I don't know,
yeah, that wouldn't be cool. Right. No, okay. So a reminder to be sure to leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leaf content. Please do whatever, even just a 5-star rating. Of course, right?
Just
press that button. Just a 5-star rating. But and we always thank you for taking the time.
Mm-hmm. And another way to help us, we mentioned it a little bit before, is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support the show by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on any of our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And we want to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do. It's flu season, I heard today. And so everybody go out and get your flu shot. Mm-hmm. If you haven't already.
And we thank you, as always, for listening and watching Ladies Talk and Leafs, presented by Bet Online. So, till next time,
go Leafs, go!